At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Kharkiv, a large and extremely famous city in Ukraine, under assault. What does it mean now? I welcome Josh Rogan of the Washington Post. He writes Global Opinion. In a conversation with the mayor of Kharkiv, we learned that right now the situation is extremely fluid, and to be less than inaccurate, I want to be as careful as possible. It's fog of war, but something's happened. Something's changed at Kharkiv after all these years. Josh, a very good evening to you. As I recall, early on in the conflict, Kharkiv was an ambition of the Russian forces as they flooded across the line, because it's very close to the border. However, they failed to take it in that first rush, and ever since then, it stood out as a fortress in the north of the Donetsk and Luhansk oblasts. But now this fresh assault. You spoke with Mayor Tarikov of Kharkiv. What is his opinion? Is this to capture the city? Why are they doing this now? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, here we are again, 2 years after the citizens and Ukrainian forces in and around the Kharkiv region repelled the Russian advance successfully against all odds, undermanned and undergunned, and held the city and kept the people free of Russian occupation and the horrors that come with it for 2 years. And in many ways, they seem to be right back where they started. And the mayor told me that he doesn't know exactly what the Russians are planning. He's a mayor, not a military expert after all, but he can see what's going on around him, and it's a huge escalation of Russian bombing campaigns, drones, surface-to-surface missiles, guided aerial bombs, all manner of artillery, getting closer and closer to the city. Meanwhile, the artillery that can't hit the city is destroying residential neighborhoods on the periphery, and he said it could become a second Aleppo, referring to Syria's second biggest city, which was bombed and besieged for 4 years before the Russians and the Syrians took it over. So that's a pretty scary scenario. And what the mayor told me is that they need a lot more help. They need a lot more anti-air defenses. They need air missile defenses. They need Patriot systems. They need the things that only the U.S. and a number of other European countries can provide, and they need it now. And so I think what you're seeing is that the Russians are making perhaps another attempt to occupy Kharkiv and subject its 1 million residents to the kinds of mass murder, torture, and rape that we've seen in places like Bucha and Mariupol. Or at the very least, they're mounting this offensive to open up other offensives and to put pressure on Ukrainian forces from all sides as they for the U.S. weapons and assistance that is supposedly on the way.
They've been going after the infrastructure throughout Ukraine, and you indicate that they've lost power. How are they keeping the lights on? What does it look like?
Right. It's been in the last few months that attacks on energy infrastructure have increased, power generation, factories of all kinds, and they're just trying to hobble the place to turn it into rubble so that the people can't live their daily lives. And what Kharkiv has done is started borrowing energy from other Ukrainian cities, which are having their own problems, by the way, and rationing it. And every, you know, coffee shop and home and factory in the Kharkiv region has to operate on a strict schedule because power is that scarce. So it's not just a military assault; it's an assault on the minds and the sensibilities of every Ukrainian in that region to terrorize them so that they surrender. But the mayor said they're not going to surrender. They're going to keep fighting whether we help them or not.
You spoke with the mayor about long-term thinking about what will end this war. And I believe he brought forth a position that's much like President Zelensky's. When the Russians leave all of our borders, is that what he said? And I believe that heretofore has been understood as unrealistic. Patriotic, yes, but not imaginable.
Right. The mayor repeated the official government line, which is that Ukraine wants all its territory back based on the internationally recognized borders that were established when it became independent in 1991. That includes the Donbass, and it includes Crimea. Now, you know, you and I can sit here in the United States and say, well, that's not realistic. But I think what needs to be understood is that, you know, for Ukrainians, they've already tried giving away the land or having a frozen conflict before, and they're not willing to go through that again, especially not after all this suffering. And of course, there is a scenario where they could be convinced to do some sort of negotiation. But even in that scenario, why should they negotiate against themselves? Why should they tell us that they're willing to give up these territories before Putin has said anything other than you have to do exactly what I say? And that's that. So I think, you know, we're caught in this sort of loop in Washington of telling the Ukrainians that they're overreaching and them telling us that we're hurting their chances to get their land back. And I think in a sense, both sides are right. But without resolving that very question, I think it's really undermining support for the Ukraine war in parts of the United States and actually in parts of Ukraine.
The model that came to me as I was reading your column, Josh, was not Aleppo. It was Grozny back in the Chechen War. They systematically, this is before Putin's time, but he came in afterwards and was brutal towards the Chechens. They systematically reduced the city to rubble and rebuilt it entirely. So it was an all new city. Is that possible? What's going on here? They're going to level it?
Right. It's essentially the same strategy that was once written about Carthage by Tacitus, who said they make a desert and call it peace. And this was often quoted during the early years of the Syria war by Senator John McCain, because he wanted to highlight the fact that the Russian, Iranian, Syrian way of war is just to kill everybody and then rule the rubble. And that's exactly what they would do if they are able to. And but the Ukrainians are not willing to live under Russian rule, so they're going to keep fighting, and they're asking for help. And in my personal opinion, I think we should give it to them.
Yes, but they're up there isolated away from the Dnieper River, and they're very close to the Russian border, so much so that I'm going to assume a lot of these incoming drones and missiles are fired from Russian territory, not Ukrainian territory. So
that's
the
right.
Russians can keep this up indefinitely. And the mayor knows that. Did he give you a timeline of how long they can take this? The food supplies,
no.
The hospital supplies, the electricity.
No, they're not surrounded, so they can get supplies. They can get resupplies. But yes, time is not on their side. They're still vastly outnumbered. The Russians have called up hundreds of thousands of new recruits. The Ukrainians don't have that on their side. They've got less and less people that are able to fight on those front lines every single day. And the Russians know that. And what that should tell us, I think, is that we need to give them the means to defend themselves, which are the defensive weapons that they're asking for. They're not trying to, in the case of Kharkiv, storm into Russia. They're trying to keep their air free of bombs and drones and missiles. And we have the answer to that solution. It's a bunch of air defense systems that we just won't give them for some reason. So, yes, if at the current on the current trajectory, things don't look good. But, well, you know, the Ukrainians have agency in the situation. The United States and its partners have agency in the situation. And if they were to do the things that the mayor is asking them to do, then I think that they could survive until or unless a just resolution to the conflict is reached.
Josh Rogan writes global opinions for The Washington Post. His conversation with Mayor Ihor Terekhov of Kharkiv about the bombardment, nightly bombardment, good stuff coming into the city, a residential part of the city. There's nothing military about this. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.